Holy Gospel according to John in the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy One, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And I add these last couple of sentences. I ask not only on behalf of these, Jesus said, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, O God, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So did you catch all that? Sometimes when I'm reading John's Gospel, and particularly this long passage, it makes me wonder if Paul wrote that. The Apostle Paul, if you've read many of his letters in the Bible, gets all tangled up trying to explain these things that are almost unexplainable, trying to explain, and with the same kind of urgency that Paul had. There is good news, even so, in the gospel message from John today. There's good news that invites us to celebrate the mystery that lies at the very heart of salvation, at the very core of our relationship with God. The good news is that God longs for us. God's desire is to be in relationship with us. It's all right there, in case you didn't hear it. It's all right here if we listen carefully to the voice of Jesus praying this passionate prayer for his disciples. Some call it the other Lord's Prayer. But he's not teaching the disciples how to pray. He's praying to God for, on behalf of, the disciples. The setting here in John's Gospel is Thursday. It's Thursday of Holy Week, Thursday before Good Friday, when Jesus would be crucified. Jesus prays for God to keep his disciples safe at a very unsafe time, to hold them together in unity with one another, to keep them true to their faith. If you've been here or anywhere these last few weeks where we've been hearing this discourse in John's gospel leading up to these verses, then you might remember that we've seen images of Jesus as a faithful good shepherd who has responsibility and deep compassion for his sheep. Another image we heard about was Jesus, the vine, the strong vine that gives sustenance and life to the branches. We're the branches. The branches that would bear the best fruit. And then we have the image of Jesus, the rabbi, the one who is teaching his disciples about his mission, his destiny, teaching them about their own roles and the future in all of it. It's a labor of love as Jesus displays this living example of the work that he's preparing them for. And there is much work to do. Jesus knows it, and they know it. The time they spent with Jesus, they were asking him, how do we do it? Show us how to do it. How did you do that? We know a lot about doing in this congregation. Just human beings. We know how to do things. And if we haven't learned yet, we learn pretty quickly how to care for one another, how to do whatever we can do to make sure people have enough food, that have shelter. We can't do everything perfectly, but we do things pretty well a lot of the time. It's harder for us to just be. Today we hear Jesus praying for the disciples. This is Jesus, the pastor who loves them fiercely and prays for them fervently. There's an urgency in Jesus' voice. He knows his time with them is limited, and soon they'll be on their own without him visibly present. You can hear him silently praying, "Oh, dear God, keep them safe, keep them close, keep them together, just keep them." But Jesus prays also for those who would come later. That's the last couple of verses I read. The ones who would learn from these first disciples, and the ones who would learn from their followers, and the ones who would learn from the followers of those followers who followed the disciples, and so on down the line. When he says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, they may all be one. As you, God, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world, the cosmos, may believe that you have sent me." There is good news in today's gospel. On the night before he died, Jesus prays for you and for me, for all of us. Jesus prays for all believers, past, present, and future. And what's with this "in you" language? With God as the source, the creator of all that exists, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, Jesus prays that his disciples and all who would come after them could grasp the concept of connectedness. Jesus prays in a way like a mother or a father would pray for that first child who, even maybe reluctantly, heads out the door to her first day of kindergarten. And then all the way through the years to the day she moves all her stuff across the country to begin her adulthood. Like a parent who prays silently, "Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget whose you are." Jesus prays as a loving mother will pray for the safety of her children. He prays fiercely with hope for us. As a loving father would pray for the protection of his child, so Jesus asks God to shelter us from the worldly evil that he himself had known since the beginning of his life. Jesus knows that we need each other to stay strong in faith. Jesus knows it's almost impossible to stay strong in faith. It's hard to be a Christian all by yourself. Jesus prays for spiritual depth. When he prays for sanctification, that we would be made holy, set apart for a special purpose, called and sent out for a specific mission in our own settings, using our own sets of gifts and skills to go about the work, the doing of loving others in the way that Jesus loved. There is good news in the gospel today. I've read this particular passage many, many times over the years, and every time I hear it, I'm a little startled. Startled to be reminded that Jesus prays for me. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for you, for us, and continues to pray today for you and for me. This is what makes it possible for us. This is language David Lowes uses. This is what makes it possible for us to live and to continue in our ministry. It's what makes it possible for us to keep on trying to be faithful. Possible for us to confess our sins. It would be hard to do that if we didn't trust in God's forgiveness. It makes it possible for us to confess our sins, especially in those times when we aren't faithful. To hear and believe the absolution, the forgiveness that's freely given, it's harder to receive. It's what makes it possible for us to recognize ourselves in the faces of others who don't look like us. It's what makes it possible for us to care and to love each other in our words and in our deeds and in our prayers. So Jesus prayed for us then and has been praying for us ever since and continues to hold us in his heart. There's no guarantee for an easy life. Jesus gave his disciples no guarantees. It doesn't remove us from the realms of illness or disappointment or brokenness or grief or loss. It does not, as Jesus acknowledged, it does not remove us from the world and all of its challenges. It doesn't remove us from all of the world's beauty either. But it does mean that Jesus is in us, with us, cares for us, loves us. There is good news in the gospel today. God has a claim on you. God never abandons you. God never lets go of you. God longs for you, desires to be in relationship with you. Jesus is sent to you so that your weakness may be strengthened, your indifference is healed, your faults forgiven. We are not merely called and sent to love. By Jesus' prayers, we are enabled and empowered to love others, to love yourself in the way that God first loves you. There is good news in the gospel today, and it is pretty blessed amazing, don't you think? Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.